Hello there, podcast listeners. It is Tim from Video Game Fury, bringing you the latest and greatest on all the video games that's going on, the news, the playthroughs, and even some stuff in the game dev space if you're interested in learning how to get into the game dev environment yourself. I'm here to give you all that goodness on a daily basis, as much as I can. A lot of stuff going on today. Mostly just walking around for a lot of work, lots of stuff to do in my regular full-time job, so haven't had a chance to really check out what's going on in the world out there that would be interesting, but I am excited now that I got a little bit of time here this evening. I've got Uncharted Lost Legacy primed and ready to go on my PS4. It's letting me know I can get in, so I'm going to get a good couple hours of playthrough later, and hopefully come back a little bit later tonight to give you my initial thoughts of the game. Everything I'm hearing says it's the classic Uncharted formula, which is not saying it's a bad thing. That formula continues to work very well for Naughty Dog and the team. So I'm really excited for that. But first, let's get some other business done first. So last night, I finally got done with the campaign for Injustice 2. I've been on a roll lately, feeding up campaigns here. First Horizon Zero Dawn, Monument Valley 2, and now Injustice 2. So, the doldrums of summer be damned, is what I have to say. But Injustice 2, I talked about this a little before, a couple days ago, and I wanted to really kind of wrap my way through the campaign so I can, like, get a lot of the basic loots done and get Brainiac as a character before I really push hard on building stats and playing the multiverse game. I really enjoyed some of that as I was playing, but the campaign was great. If you're a comic book fan like me, this is right up your alley. It's just more zany stuff in this alternate take on the DC universe. I'm not going to go in too much into the story details, but if you've read comics for as long as I had, I've been reading since I was 8 years old, you kind of know a lot of the good stories here. This is all the world where Superman's gone mad, he's lost a lot of people in his life, and he feels the only way to really stop the world of crime is to control the world and mold them in his image. Batman and company, or rather like a alternate Justice League, came in to save the day, and that was the whole premise of the first game, and now we're here with Superman locked up, and Batman with the task of trying to rebuild the world. And lo and behold, here comes Brainiac into the picture to try to harvest the world and collect it for his knowledge and for his research. So if you know a lot of these premises well, it hits all the beats of a comic book. And I'm saying it in a way that makes it sound like it's all no big deal, but I mean, the presentation, the way the fights are kind of seamlessly put in, I mean, just remember, this is all NetherRealm, the guys behind Mortal Kombat. They're mixing these one-on-one battles into the story so well that you don't really question the choices in doing it. I think that's a very interesting mechanic, speaking as someone that's learning game development, to really find a way to mold the story around their mechanic of the one-on-one fights, the bread and butter that these guys have been doing since Mortal Kombat 1. And they really mastered that just in the last Injustice game, the last couple of Mortal Kombat games. It's a sight to see, and I hope it's a template that these other franchises that are into fighting can really master well. I mean, people have some concern about this for the next Marvel vs. Capcom game, Infinite, where it just seems like the story is not really gelling with this combination of this Ultron and Rex character. I think it's Rex Infinite. I'm totally blanking on who the character is. That should tell you a lot. But back to Injustice, I mean, such a great story. I mean, the presentation is great. The motion capture of all the characters, especially people like Batman, Superman, and Supergirl. You really see the pain that everyone has gone through, whether it's losing their home planets or seeing their loved ones pass away. The facial expressions on the mo capture is just so incredible to look at. They really mastered this well when creating these characters. And, it hits those story beats, Batman has to eventually free Superman in order to take out Brainiac. They need to work together like the old times, knowing that Batman doesn't like Superman and what he did previously. So it's the old two enemies hating each other but have to unite in order to take out a greater threat concept that we see so much in a lot of these team-ups. But it's just so executed well in this video game, and you know, the fight, you know, the fight's really great. You really get to mix a lot of the combos, including with the environment effects, whether it's kicking the character into the back of the screen or grabbing an object and tossing at people. My favorite one is when you're in the, I think it's the bar in Metropolis, and you basically grab the guy drinking from the bar stool and just chuck him at the enemy. That's my favorite thing. And he just gets up like, he's obviously drunk, so he's obviously like, what's going on? Is there a fight? But this was just great to get through. I really enjoyed it. It was definitely one of my most anticipated games of the year. The mechanics I've already spoke to, the fighting style, it works so well for them. Even the supers are just off the wall, off the charge. I think Supergirls is always going to be my favorite, where you get brought into space, chucked through an asteroid field, and lasered all the way down. It's just something to really behold. And so that's the campaign mode. Now we just go into the other cool concept of the multiverse, where I get to go to different planets, take out different versions of some of the heroes and villains in the DCU, and try to accumulate more loot, and really try to get a little more cosmetic, build up the stats of some of the characters. I think that was a smart idea of NetherRealm to really prolong this as well. So I definitely can't wait to plow down to that. I also went in, because I was a little late to the party for getting some of the stuff. I finally got two more characters they add to the roster, Starfire and Red Hood. I'm a little on the fence if I want to add Sub-Zero. I didn't really grow up a Mortal Kombat guy too much, so I don't have an affinity really for the Mortal Kombat characters too much. But he may be something I'll add to the mix down the road, especially if I want to do like a hangout with some friends and, you know, play some co-op or one-on-one matches here. So we'll see. It also looks like they've added like 8 additional slots to the left and right of the character selection screen. So it looks like NetherRealm's definitely not finished with this. And I mean, the game's only a couple of months old, you know, if we think about it. It feels like so long ago, but that's just the nature of video games. Yeah, you put out a game that's been developed for so long, it comes out, and then the hype kind of dies down after a couple of months. But, you know, it hasn't been that long. So I'm excited to see what they're going to release next for that. They already have a pretty stacked roster as it is, and I kind of wonder who they would put in next, considering that, you know, the story that they've been telling throughout both games, this is a much darker universe than we're used to seeing. Like, there's characters getting mauled and beaten to death here, and not just by the villains. So I would say just, you know, check that out if you haven't seen it yet. But I'm really impressed by this game. It's definitely up there. One of the best fighting games that I've played. I'm a sucker for the comic book style of fighting game. And the campaign just hit me on so many different numbers. I'm really curious in the next few years where they're going to go next with this, if they plan to do a third one. But I'm enjoying the ride for now. I'm going to do a little more multiverse and wait to see what these other cool characters that they're going to release in the coming months. But Injustice 2 definitely gets my thumbs up as a final thought, with everything. Graphics, sound, the story, presentation, gameplay mechanics, fighting style, I mean, you name it. They hit all the beats again, just like they did the first time. And I'm really happy for what NetherRealm did. So good job, guys. Can't wait to see what you do next. All right, next up, I haven't really had a chance to do a lot of talk on game development lately. I've been just busy with whether it's my full-time work or travel or family. So this has kind of been put on the rise. And of course, summer, you know, vacation time, even on weekends, always are times where you need to chill and recharge. And I think I need to do that more than anything. But I'm fired up. Like I said, I came back from Play NYC recently, and I really loved and was inspired by a lot of the variety of games they had on display through the indie community. I'm excited about an event. There's a Unity Developer Day coming up in September. I think it's the second Saturday of that month, if I remember correctly. That's happening at the Microsoft Technology Center in Times Square in the city. New York City, I should say. So there's a lot of things that are pushing me up here. And one of the things I've been thinking about lately that I've been giving tips on, some things on what we do in the Unity class and, what I've been learning through the platform and the online classes lately. And I think one of the things that gets pushed off quite a bit, especially when you're thinking about creating a game, is the game design document, or the GDD, as they like to call it for short. That was one of the big things we really had to think through in my Unity class back in the spring, and it's really emphasized throughout the industry to have that. One, it's not only it helps you, try to understand what exactly it is you're trying to make, what's the goal, why are you doing it in a certain way, what are those mechanics. So it's a good refresher reminder for you to keep your game within scope. But it's also good down the road. I mean, if you're going to start, pitching money or trying to get published to an actual publisher and get the right kind of marketing that you're looking to get for your game, it's very important to have this key. I mean, it's really no different than if you were to, start your own business and you need a business plan if you're going to do that. If you're searching, just going out and trying to search for a job, especially if it's like a pretty high-level job, whether you're in the tech space or if you're, if you're going to become a lawyer or become a doctor. I mean, I imagine you're going to need some kind of like resume or portfolio. I mean, it's no different. Game design is really no different. You need a game design document when you're building a game, not only to, one, keep you in check on what you're making, but also if you're pitching to other people to try to get some money out of it in order to build your game, then you need to have them understand what you're trying to achieve as well. And obviously in game design, there's a lot of different things that you need to think about as you do it. The story of what you're doing, what is the character, what can he or she do. And it's really interesting as you think about it. I've been kind of thinking about this lately, especially I was talking to a friend of a friend towards the end of that class. I called her up and, trying to get some tips from her on what some of the ideas I could think about post my class. And she always emphasized about, hey, when you play a lot of games, but think about what is that one mechanic that can be redefined and repurposed across other games. It's funny as I'm thinking, though, that I was playing a game at Play NYC where it was basically like you board a ship and you try to shoot the other ships down, like a four-player co-op type of game. And to the left of their screen was another demo, but it was just a prototype. And it was a space shooter game, a la kind of Asteroids, where you move the ship back and forth across the screen, avoiding large asteroids, shooting down smaller asteroids. And they were explaining to me that the ship movements and how it felt and how you were going to turn and navigate and shoot from all different angles, that was the key mechanic they wanted to master to the point that it could be translated across any kind of genre of a game. Which I thought was fascinating, just to see that from a space shooter translated into a pirate ship game was really telling to me. And that's one of the things my friend was telling me too. Like, even think about a game like Mario Brothers. Like, what's his big thing that he knows how to do that you could translate to any game? His jumping. He jumps across chasms. He jumps on Goombas and Koopas. He jumps to get the question block so he can get the mushroom or the fire flower. He jumps to grab the flag at the end of the level so that he can get as high of a score as possible. I mean, everything is centered around that jumping mechanic, and is one of the reasons why Super Mario Brothers is one of the greatest games that will, live the test of time. And so I guess what I'm saying, long story short, through all the ramblings, is if you're listening to the show, you're thinking about in going into game dev, learning the trade is obviously very important. Learn your platform, learn the ins and outs of the system and the language that goes behind it. But the key thing at the end of the day is, as you start getting into that realm of making games, is to really think about that game design document. My teacher is very focused on making sure we had that clear and how we're writing that. What's the game about? Who are your characters? Who are your enemies? What are going to be the core mechanics to build upon it? It's really something that is necessary, because you can have all the tools in the world, you can have all the smarts in how you want to program your game, but if you don't have the right idea or concept or flow to go off of in order to make it, then really you're just throwing code all over the place. or objects or sounds and animations, whatever it is your role is in the scope of the game, you're just throwing things on the wall and hoping they stick. And so if you guys are thinking about that, you know, really do some research on game design documents. There's plenty of material on the web, whether through some of the gaming sites. I'm sure there's many prevalent developers you may know that have blogs and share some of these experiences as well. So it's really something to keep in mind. It's just something that have been come to my mind lately that I thought I'd share with you guys, that, you know, like any other line of work, whether you're doing a business plan for a business, flushing out a resume for a potential job, you need to make sure that your game design document is fleshed out before you plunge into the world of game making. Alright guys, to the end of this night here, I got a little play action time in Uncharted Lost Legacy. Cool stuff to start the game, and it's got the good old Uncharted feel that you expect from a Naughty Dog Uncharted game. I only played the first hour or so, so I got to the first two chapters, where basically the prologue of Chloe making her way through war-torn India, whatever part of India it is, that's out of the Civil War in the game, to basically get the map of the, I think it's the Tussagnish, if I remember correctly. She meets up with Nadine, who's a prominent character in Uncharted 4. And you escape all the bad guys in a thrilling sequence that is typical of a Naughty Dog game. And now I'm at the point where I'm basically in the jungles, and this is where it gets a little surprising for me. I got to drive a car, but it looks like it's pretty freeform, like not as linear as the last Uncharted games. Still contained within a certain area. You know, it's not like a massive world that you expect from like a GTA or a Horizon, but it's an interesting choice they made with this to let you kind of figure out your own direction. You know, you look for optional treasures on the side to build up your goodies. But that's an interesting choice, kind of opening up the world a little bit in terms of directions you want to go. Like I said, I'm only like an hour in, so I'm not sure how open they really make it. But a lot of the feel of Uncharted is there for you. You know, great, good story so far, great characters, great acting, thrilling action sequence already in the very beginning of the game. You know, graphic-wise, I mean, nobody does it better than Naughty Dog when it comes to cinematic presentations. So I'm really looking forward to the next few hours I get to hopefully play this throughout the week. It's more of the same, but as I've mentioned in previous shows, it doesn't bother me. It's a proven formula. Naughty Dog has perfected that between these games, between Last of Us. I mean, they can do no wrong with this stuff, and I'm happy they have kept it that simple for me to keep going. So, loving what I have done so far in the first hour. I'll definitely keep you guys updated as I get to play more later this week. That is the show this week. I was about to say this week, but I do a daily show, so that would be wrong. That is the show for today. I hope you guys enjoyed a lot of stuff going on today. Looking forward to what we have more during the week as I get a little more Uncharted time in. But for now, I am calling it a night. Feel free to call into the Anchor station here if you have any request or feedback about anything I talked about today. I'm always open to that. You can listen to us on iTunes and Google Play as well if you want to subscribe. Reviews on there are always helpful too. Boost me up in the rankings if you want. I'm cool with that. And you can always also email me at tim@videogamefury.com. I would always love to hear whether some topics you guys want to talk about on the show. So who knows, I may read one of those emails on the air. So tim@videogamefury.com if you want to reach me on there as well. So until then, folks, I'm signing off. Have a great evening, and I'll speak to you guys tomorrow.